Okay, would you turn your Bible to John chapter 5? Around the time of 1989 and 1990, our family was attending Home Mission Church of the Assembly of God in Tucson. This particular church was located at the Five Point of downtown Tucson. I don't know if you know where the Five Point of the downtown Tucson is. It is a very rough area. The place is crawling with the professional homeless people. Those people mostly, either they are too drunk, too doped up, or many of them are demon possessed. One evening, pastor of that church asked me to go to this particular halfway house on behalf of him to meet a young man who was staying there. For whatever the reason, the person who greeted me at the entrance, he thought that I was a medical doctor. I didn't say that, but he just looked at me as you're a doctor. And I told him I need to see that young man's name, whom I forgot. And he said, I'll go get him. Then, while he disappeared to the back of the house, another guy popped up, and he thought that I was a pastor. At the time, I was not the pastor. I didn't say anything. I just stood there, and he thought I was a pastor. And he also disappeared the place where he came from. Then, I guess he talked with somebody else, and then third guy showed up, and he stood in front of me. He said, I am God. I thought, okay, this is going to be interesting. And the young man finally came out. Later, I found out that halfway house was specializing for the people who are not altogether up there. And it's no wonder why I had a guy claim to be God. Just because someone claimed to be somebody, that doesn't mean that person is that. And what he said is true. There are many voices in this world that claim to know the identity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Please allow me to list a few of them. You guys know some of this. First one is Jehovah's Witnesses. They say that Jesus is not God before he lived on earth, and he was Michael the archangel, brother of Lucifer. Did you know that? Do you know who the Lucifer is? Now he is the Satan. Second cult, Mormonism. Jesus is separated God from the Father Elohim. He was created as a spirit child by the Father and Mother in heaven. His body was created by Elohim having sex with Mary. If you notice, if you studied any Mormonism, everything connects with the sex. It is no wonder that they like to have multiple wives. Third cult, New Age. Jesus is not the one true God. They said he is not a savior, and he's a spiritual model and guru, now ascended master. Islam. They said it's a peaceful religion. Yeah. They say that Jesus is one of the most respected of over 124,000 prophets sent by Allah. Scientology. They claim that Jesus is rarely mentioned in the cult, and Jesus was not the creator, and he did not die for our sin. None of them say that Jesus is God. None of them say that Jesus is the creator. None of them says the savior, only way to God the Father. But in the Bible, where we are going to spend about a half an hour or so this morning, Jesus systematically explains away what he claimed to be in six different ways. We really need to know this well, because Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons are targeting ill prepared Christians. The majority of the converts are not from unbelievers. Do you know that? Majority of converts of the Mormonism, especially Mormonism, are Southern Baptists. And you may say, why Southern Baptist? Because that's the biggest denomination. Nothing wrong against the Southern Baptists, just there are more of them. But they do not know the Word of God, and they get sucked into the cult. They come knock on the door, and Jesus Christ is our Savior and Lord. And, really? Do you know end of the world is coming? Jehovah's Witness says. And, yeah, I heard the preacher saying that. Tell me more. Because people do not know the Word of God, Prophet Hosea said, my people perish. Don't think that preachers are trying to sell something from the Bible. I don't, and many good Bible teachers don't. They are trying to tell you to know your Savior, know your Messiah, so that you don't fall for the con artist job, spiritual con artist, that to be exact. Let's stop here and pray. Heavenly Father, we pray that Holy Spirit anoints our heart and the one who speaks, that we may know our Savior. The more we know about our Lord, the better we can represent Him, and the better and the stronger defense we can put out. Father, we don't want to hear a man's voice, but we want to hear what the Holy Spirit is speaking to us. Father, we are asking you to teach us so that we may know Jesus. We may see Him. We may know Him. We may hear Him. Father, we pray for the President Obama, for his salvation. Whatever it takes for him to come to know Christ. And we pray for that those who are in uniforms, our soldiers and marines and sailors and airmen, especially the one in the harm's way, and law enforcement personnel and the firefighters. You protect them as they protect our lives and our freedom. And we also lift up this election. Each day I feel like I'm watching circus. Father, your will be done. Your name will be exalted. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Chapter 5 of John, verse 17, please. But Jesus answered them, my Father has been working until now, and I have been working. Therefore, the Jews thought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Verse 19. Then Jesus answered and said to them, most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does. And he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. Stop there, please. I'm so glad the Father in heaven and our Savior Jesus does not take the day off. Don't you? According to Psalm 121, verse 4, go there, please. Keep your finger in John. Psalm 121, verse 4. Behold, he who speaks Israel, he keeps Israel, shall neither slumber nor sleep. Can you imagine? Jesus Christ, God says, okay, I am bushed, I'm putting up with this horrible people, I'm done, I'm going to take some time off, I'm going to take a vacation, and do nothing. Problem with that is, God is the one holding the universe. When he does nothing, all this planet's going to go out of spin and got orbit, Milky Way is going to start to go that direction, and the sun's going to come this direction. Everything's going to go haywire. Forget about universe. The Bible says he's the one holding us together. Colossians 3:17 says he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. In other words, all the DNA in our bodies held by the glue. Scientists really do not know how, what kind of glue. It's not a super glue. Hello? And God is the one holding them together. If he says, okay, I'm going to let it go, because since I'm not going to do anything, guess what? We fall apart. Some of you will say, nay, 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 preacher. According to Genesis 2:2, he took the rest on the seventh day. God needs rest. No. He did that as an example for us, because we have a tendency to drive ourselves to the bone and not rest. Guilty. What Jesus said in verse 17 was not missed by the Pharisees. The Israelites traditionally called God, never my God. However, Jesus never referred to God as our Father, not always our Father, but always my Father. The Jewish religious leaders knew that, and by claiming God the Father as my Father, Jesus is claiming to be the Son of God. And they know, and they knew that being a Son of God, making himself equal and putting himself as God. And again, some of you might think that, wrong. Jesus said, our Father, in his prayer. In Matthew chapter 6, he said, our Father who are in heaven, hallowed be your name. You're right, but you're wrong. Jesus was giving a pattern of a prayer. So the right name is not the Lord's prayer. It should be the pattern of a prayer. You with me? Just bragging side. My grandson, 5 years old, now he can recite the Lord's prayer. Some of you may wonder where in the Old Testament it mentioned the Father and Son of God's Godhead in the same person. Let me direct you to probably one of the most famous verses, Isaiah 9:6. You need to go there. You need to see this. Isaiah 9:6. You guys know this by heart. As soon as I say a couple words, you guys know this. For unto us a child is born. Who is the Isaiah talking about? Who is Isaiah talking about? Jesus. Unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God. Right? Everlasting what? And Prince of Peace. All in one sentence. He's a son, and he's the everlasting Father. Same person. How's that? That's why he's God. We are not. I think that it's clear for us. And the Jehovah's Witness could not trust this verse to overcome their false doctrine. Jesus not only claimed the equal relationship with God in verse 17 and 18, but also he claimed equality in work, that they shared in verse 19 and 20. Like man and his shadow. See? This shadow? If I go like that, it follows me around. My shadow and I are not identical. But not independent from one another. So God the Son and God the Father are distinct from one another, yet they depend on each other. You get that? One more thing. I want you to remember this. Jesus fully submitted God the Father. Not because of coercion or because he was forced, but rather by his own choice, he chose to submit God the Father. That was the first claim. Second claim is the giver of life in verse 21. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. To assert Jesus' equality, he claimed to have the same power as the Father does over the spiritually dead. And this is mentioned from the beginning of this book. Go to John chapter 1, please. John chapter 1, verse 3. It says, all things were made through him, that is Jesus, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and life was the light of man. Jesus used the work of a resurrection as an example of the shared work of the Father and the Son. Here, the Son has the power and authority to raise the dead and give life to them, just as the Father does. You know, the many cult leaders and even the faith movement so-called healers claim that they heal people. They are the one who has the power to heal people. But so far, no one dared to claim that they raised the dead. I heard somebody say they raised the dead. They don't have any proof. Third claim, the final judge. Very important, the final judge. Verse 22, chapter 5 in John. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to who? The Son, Jesus Christ, that all children honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. This is a strong verse, folks. Many religious people who say that they worship or believe God, but deny the deity of Jesus Christ, truly believe that those people they don't believe or worship God the Father or the Son. Apart from Jesus Christ, we cannot know the Father, worship Him, or serve Him. Acts chapter 10, verse 42, please. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that He is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. The people who refuse to accept the Son of God as their Savior and Lord, listen please, this is very important. To their last breath, they will stand in front of Him on the day of a white throne judgment that is mentioned in the book of Revelation chapter 20. Our memory verse. And if any of you in this room think that what I just said is either a joke, it's not truth. If you don't repent, if you don't accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior before you die, you are the one who is going to stand in the presence of that final judge. And you are not going to think that it is a joke and it is not true. You will not have a slick defense lawyer who can make your way out of with a loophole or technicality. They have their own problem. You have your own problem. He will ask you whether you receive Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior in your heart or not. Only one thing. You cannot say, I was a good person, I was a religious person, nothing counts. Then you will be judged and you will be found guilty and you will be sent to hell for eternity for your own choice of unbelief. Are you with me? to unorthodox Jew, Jehovah God was the judge of all the earth. Genesis, please. First book. Genesis chapter 18. Verse 25. Far be it from you to do such a thing as this, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous should be as the wicked. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth and do right? See, no one dared to apply this title to himself, the final judge. But Jesus did. By claiming to be the judge, he claiming to be God. Fourth claim is giving eternal salvation. Verse 24, please. Chapter 5, verse 24 in John. Assuredly, I say to you, Jesus speaking, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life, shall not come into judgment, but has passed from the death into life. Not only does Jesus claim to be the final judge, but he also claimed to be the way out of eternal condemnation. Jesus mentioned this in chapter 14 of the same book. You guys know this verse. In John chapter 14, verse 6, I am what? The way, one way, the truth, and the life. And then he said, if you have other ways, okay, that's fine by me, right? No one comes to the Father but through me. It doesn't matter how good you are. Unless you accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior, you don't go to heaven. Some people will say that they don't agree with about what the Bible says about Jesus and being exclusive way of salvation. At the same time, they believe that the Bible, this book, is the Word of God and speak the truth. Problem here. Right? You say, Bible is true, God is true, but you disagree. Alright, question number one. Since you said the Bible is true and you disagree, and you say that God is true, but you disagree, which one is right? You cannot say both are right. Truth is exclusive. Truth is not relative. Are you with me? If the Bible speaks the truth, and your opinion, what I said, opinion is contradicting against the Word of God, does it mean that possibly you're wrong? Would that be possible? Oh, yes. You cannot say that you have a different opinion than God. Problem is that God is always right. That proved that. Whenever you disagree, whenever I disagree with God, it only proves one thing. I am wrong. You are wrong. It's simple logic. You cannot argue with that logic. Either you take this thing as a truth, or you deny the whole thing. And prove that, if that's the case, you need to prove that God is a liar. Not all road leads to the same God. The God of Bible is not Allah, Buddha, or the Hare Krishna, or some outer space alien. The Bible does not allow you to be in the neutral mode. Jesus said, either you are for me or against me. Black and white. You know, the Reverend Oprah Winfrey, who has her own theology, she said, God of the Bible has such a narrow mind. Exactly. Truth has a narrow mind. Truth is exclusive. Relative truth, listen to me please, relative truth is made by the people who wants to hide behind excuses so they don't have to face the truth. Someday they will face the truth in front of the final judge that I mentioned, the Bible mentioned. They cannot hide behind the excuse anymore. Fifth claim, giving resurrection in verse 25. Most assuredly I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so the Son has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the grave will hear his voice, and come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of a condemnation. Stop there, please. Here, Jesus gives us some of the Bible's clearest information regarding the resurrection. Number one, there will be definitely life after death. In case you wonder, yes, there is a life after death. Most likely, it's not the thing that the secular people like to portray. Second fact, every person will be affected by it. Third fact, every person will be either in heaven or hell. If you take the verse 29 out of context, let's go back to read the verse 29. Come forth those who have done good to the resurrection of life, those who have done evil to the resurrection of a condemnation. It almost sounds, if you take it out of context, completely out of context, so if you do good things, you get to have a resurrection of eternal life. But if you've been a bad guy or bad gal, you're going to have eternal condemnation. It sounds like, right? It's not that. If you keep this in context, remember I've been teaching you guys, whenever somebody quotes the Bible verse, you always read the five verses ahead, five verses behind. That way you can keep everything in context. In other words, doing good permeates through the relationship with Jesus Christ, and doing evil emerges through the separation from Him. Keep in mind, the resurrection is not reconstruction, nor is it resuscitation. In case somebody said that Lazarus was the first one who resurrected, no, he was resuscitated. The poor guy had to die again. I'm begging you. If I drop that in front of you, you do not resuscitate me. Because you don't want to come after you, after I come back from death. It does not imply that God put the human bodies back together again as before. Thank goodness, right? The resurrection body is a brand new body, a glorified body with a completely different molecule, and suited for the new heavenly environment. Death is not the end for the believers of Jesus Christ. What kind of body? I don't know whether it's going to be round or nice shape. You know, people say, that guy is in shape, that gal is in shape. Hey, round is a shape, right? Nothing wrong with a round. Just following the gravity. Listen, what kind of glorified are we going to have? Jesus, after when he's resurrected, he walked through the wall. When all the doors and windows closed, he came inside. The best part, he ate. Cool, huh? I don't think he gained weight, though. Listen, however, those who reject the salvation through Jesus Christ, there will be their own kind of a resurrection. the resurrection of condemnation. In other words, they will be resurrected to receive the eternal punishment to hell with all the pain, all the suffering, the worst part. The worst part is the utter isolation from everyone, including God. There is no purgatory. Surprise! If you are into Catholic, purgatory is not mentioned in the Bible. It was invented by those Catholic people. Listen, in case you are thinking that, well, I'll go to hell and I'll have a brewski with my buddies, you ain't going to. You're going to be all alone by yourself in total pain, never-ending pain. Do you want that for the rest of your eternal life? Utter isolation from everyone. The worst part is you can never change it. The last claim, doing the will of the Father, verse 30. I can of myself do nothing, Jesus speaking. As I hear, I judge, my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. As I mentioned about the shadow never moves its own initiative. So Jesus moves only in sync. Can you say it with me? In sync with God the Father. Oh, how we need to do this. How we need to do this. We need to be in sync with the Holy Spirit, so that when the Holy Spirit says, do this, we gladly do it. Instead of doing our own thing, and then He put the hook on our mouth and dragging us down because we are so stubborn. Have you ever been there? God dragging you back? Or you are like a stallion, you just run ahead of God, or being dragged behind God. Why not walk with God? Simple thing to remember. And you may say, this is so basic. Give me something meaty. After you get this thing done, you know this thing done, then we'll go into the more intermediate thing. Our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit, is one same God in three distinctively different persons. Holy Spirit is not force. God the Son, Jesus Christ, is not inferior to the God the Father. Don't ever anyone fool you. Suck into some false theology. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, co-equal, co-powerful, and co-existing. Amen?